Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
Do you want to talk about the Nats? They got crushed last night. I didn't watch it. It was disgusting. We're coming towards the end of baseball season. The pitchers are getting beat up like crazy.
Yeah, they're getting shelled here. I mean, they're losing to a team that is a good team, playing well, that is playing for a playoff spot right now, the last couple of nights in the Mets.
Right.
But yeah, it was Hers last night. It was Parker the night before. It's early and often, and it's ugly. And the Nats are headed towards, you know, they got, what do they have, 10 games left? 10 games left.
Something like that, yeah.
What was their over-under before the season started? Was it 71? Does that sound right?
I thought it was 68.
Was it 68? They won 71 last year. They crushed the over-under last year.
Yeah, but it was lower.
No, it was you're right. It was in the 60s. It was something in the 60s. They've probably gone over already, or do they need another win or two?
So their official record, let me pull it up. They're like hovering by it. They're right at 68, so they need one more win to hit that over, if it was 68.
Let me see if somebody's got it here.
It is a point of conversation.
66 and a half.
Oh, they hit it
then. I'm seeing. So they're over already.
Everybody cash those tickets.
Yeah. They don't have to worry about the last 10 games. you know, I guess the question now is, are they going to exceed what they did last year and win 71? They have the Cubs coming up this weekend. On the road, and then they play the Royals, who are in a playoff fight, and they play the Phillies to end the season. And I think at that point, the Phillies, you know, will have, I don't know if they'll dial it down because they're not going to play in that wild card round weekend, but they won't be playing for anything. I guess they could be playing for the one seed, right? They're still battling with the Dodgers for the one seed. Yeah, right. In fact, the Phillies lead on the Dodgers is one game. So they'll be playing for, you know, potentially home field advantage and the one seed in the National League playoffs. So the Phillies will probably have something to play for. But the Cubs are kind of out of it. How many games back are they in the wild card race? Yeah, they're seven back. They don't have a shot. Remember those days back in June when the Nats were playing really well and were actually like the second wild card team? Yeah, not so much. It didn't hold up. Nobody thought it would. What else do you have?
All right, so yesterday the list of potential nominees were unveiled for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The list is stacked. There are a couple that have ties to our franchise, but the list of – this is put out by NBC Sports, by the way, because we had a discussion about this during the break of a first-time nominee versus first-time eligible. The list of first-time nominees, Kevin, is massive. There's about 16 dudes on this list, and we'll at some point go one by one because there are some interesting conversations here, but the big one is Eli Manning. He headlines this list. Of those that are eligible with Washington ties, you, of course, have Brian Mitchell and London Fletcher, who have been eligible prevalently, shall we say, for the past couple of years. Clinton Portis is on this list. We're trying to figure out if he's been on
what
the list before.
I want to know, with Clinton and Dee Hall, is this their, because they're not first-time eligible, clearly. They've been out of the league for more than 5 years. Are they first-time nominee? I think D'Angelo's been on the list before, but I don't know if Clinton has.
I believe D'Angelo has been on the list before. I would be stunned if Clinton hasn't, because it feels like a weird time to put him on now. Mm-hmm. Just because some of the numbers only get further and further out of reach. But also among the list of first-time nominees that does have a tie to Washington is Vernon Davis, who has now been out of the league for 5 years and at one point was one of the better tight ends in the game.
Yeah, let me just say this. D'Angelo Hall, Clinton Portis, and Vernon Davis are not going to be Hall of Famers. I'm rooting for them to be Hall of Famers. Really rooting for all three of them because I like Clinton a lot. I like D. Hall a lot. Vernon's a terp. Love Vernon, but they're not Hall of Famers. I think of the players that are on the list that have kind of Washington ties, and you said there were a lot of players, so help me if I'm missing somebody that actually has a legit shot. It's Brian Mitchell, okay? Mm-hmm. London, actually, career-wise, the longevity of his career, you can put his numbers side by side with other middle linebackers or inside linebackers that are in the Hall of Fame, but I don't think he was ever considered to be the best or this top two or three best in the league when he was playing. But You can stack his numbers. I've talked about London's case for the Hall of Fame before. I don't think he'll end up in the Hall of Fame, but you could actually make a quantitative case for it. But Brian's the one. And Devin Hester getting into the Hall of Fame this past August cleared the way and cleared the possibility for Brian to get there. Because in my opinion, Brian's got a career that is Hall of Fame worthy, but it's not comparable to Devin Hester and what Devin Hester was when he was in the game. I think Devin Hester is one of the most lethal and most feared returners in the history of the game. And to me, it was a slam dunk that Devin Hester was going to go to the Hall of Fame. But him and Hester's induction speech bringing up Brian Mitchell, and I think he also brought up Dante Hall was the other one, I think.
It was Josh Cribbs.
Oh, it was Josh Cribbs. Yeah. Okay. So bringing up Brian first before Josh Cribbs, I think, you know, Brian still, you know, his case, we've talked about Brian so many times in terms of the case, second all-purpose yardage, you know, the gross yardage of punt return yardage and kickoff return yardage, it's so far ahead of any other returner that's ever played the game. The problem is averages. Averages and, you know, what did you think of Brian qualitatively? Brian was an excellent returner. In the league, when he was in the league, he was clearly each year, whether it was here or in Philly, he was a top five returner in the game. Was he ever the best returner in the game? Average-wise, I don't think he was. And I don't put him in that class with Devin Hester, but Hester clears the way for Brian to be a possibility. It does. And for people to take his case seriously and to look at a guy that is second to Jerry Rice and way ahead of anybody that's third. I forget who third is right now. That's escaping me. I can look it up real quickly. To take his case seriously. But that's the one, right? Am I missing somebody from the list of people with Washington ties?
Some of the other ones are reaches, like McNabb. I don't think McNabb's going to be a Hall
McNabb's
of Famer
not
anyway.
A Hall of Famer.
But listen to some of these first-time nominees. I'm going to go through the list one by one. I would say right now, just broadly looking over it, there are for sure three Hall of Famers on this first-time nominee list, one of which is historic. Eli Manning is on there. He's going to get in at some point. Not first ballot, probably. But Eli's going to get in. How about Marshawn Lynch? You think Marshawn Lynch is a Hall of Famer?
Marshawn Lynch. I don't have an answer to that.
I think he's close, but he's not one of my definitive yeses on this first-time nominee list.
Yeah. My immediate answer would be no, but I have a feeling if I look up the numbers and the performances and the Pro Bowls, et cetera, with Marshawn Lynch, I may change my mind. Like, I didn't think on first glance that Jerome Bettis was a Hall of Fame player. I'm looking at Marshawn Lynch right now. He is a 4-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, once an All-Pro first team. I guess he's going to have a case for it, right?
He'll have a case because of those Seattle years. And I do think there is some element of him being in the public eye in those years in Seattle where he was a fun player. Obviously, that matters a little bit. Not a lot of it, but a little bit. We've seen that with the T.O. thing, why he was snubbed the first time as if he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. So I would say Marshawn Lynch is a maybe. I will just warn you, there are a lot of, like, very easy definitive no's on here. Speaking of, Darren Sproles, not a chance.
No.
Not a chance. God rest his soul, Demaryius Thomas, again, not a chance.
No.
Great player for a time, but not nearly the longevity.
No.
Vernon Davis, as we mentioned.
No.
No. Delanie Walker, longtime Titan tight end.
Tight end? He's on that list? No.
No. Travis Frederick, offensive lineman.
No.
Ryan Khalil.
No.
Joe Staley. He was a maybe for me.
Say that again.
Joe Staley.
He's a possibility. I'm looking at how many. I mean,
he's around for a while.
Many time Pro Bowler, right?
Yeah, he was around for a while. Played on the 49ers for a long time.
Joe Staley was a 6-time Pro Bowler. He was a 3-time All-Pro. He also made the All-2010s team. But let me just say this as I'm looking at Joe Staley, because my immediate reaction was, you know, maybe with Joe Staley, especially compared to the other names you were mentioning. But Joe Staley shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame before Joe Jacoby.
Right.
So Joe Jacoby was on the all 1980s team. He was, you know, debatably the best left tackle for that decade. You know, certainly one of the two or three best. So he put it this way, Joe Staley was not the best left tackle of the 2010s. That honor probably goes to, you know, Trent Williams, Jason Peters, Teron Smith, etc. Right? Before you think about Joe Staley. Joe Staley was a really good player. You know, with offensive linemen, you got to go back and you got to remind yourself, because right. I think when we were watching the 49ers with Joe Staley, especially during those Harbaugh years, you're like, when they were really good, went to a Super Bowl, were in multiple, you know, NFC title games, it seemed like he was one of the best in the game, and he was. All right, who else?
The next and final offensive line, this for me is a definitive yes, is Marshall Yanda, Baltimore Ravens guard.
He was excellent in Baltimore. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like I'm going to pull his number.
Two-time first-team All-Pro, five-time second-team All-Pro, eight-time Pro Bowler, 2010s All-Decade team. He was probably the best guard of his era.
Yeah.
So I'd say he's a definitive yes to get
in. Well, let's get to the one that will be debated the most, Eli Manning.
Well, hold on. How about the historic one? Vinatieri is going to become the second kicker to get in.
Oh, he is.
He's first time nominee. He's the historic one. He is definitively going to get in.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No doubt. Eli is the one that everyone's going to debate.
So I've said this about Eli over the years, and when we've had these conversations, and now it's here. You know, he will definitely be in the final 15. I don't know if he's going to make it this first go round. I definitely expect Eli Manning to eventually be in the Hall of Fame, even if he isn't in this first run. You can take the Super Bowls out of it and still say that Eli Manning had a numbers career that was really, really impressive. Eli's, you know, top 10 in passing yards and touchdowns all time. This is a dude that during his 16-year career never missed a game with injury. Never. He has a bunch of those fourth quarter and overtime comeback drives during his career. And then you throw on top of it, you throw in the two Super Bowls for, you know, the Patriots. He was a multi-time Pro Bowler. I'm pulling it up right now because people seem to think that. I think sometimes when you talk about Eli, people just say, well, it's, you know, it's two playoff years and that's it. He was a four-time Pro Bowler. But it wasn't just, by the way, the Super Bowls. He played great in a lot of postseason games leading up to the Super Bowl, like those games in Green Bay. You know, the NFC Championship game in Green Bay, you know, that would have been 2007, the one where it went to overtime and you had, you know, icicles hanging on, you know, hanging off of Coughlin's nose. Brett Favre, I think, threw the pick in overtime that set up the game-winning field goal. He was outstanding in that game. They went to Green Bay again. He threw for like 300-plus and won at Lambeau. Here, I've got his game log as a playoff quarterback up in front of me. 8-4 as a starter, over 60% completion, 2,815 yards, 18 TDs to 9 interceptions. But just remembering some of these games. So he lost his first two playoff games to Carolina and Philly. And then in 2007, beat Tampa on the road, all right, with an outstanding game, beat Dallas on the road, played well in that game, beat Green Bay. That was the NFC Championship game in the frigid cold at Lambeau, and then played well and threw the game-winning touchdown pass against the Patriots. Then he lost to Philly. Then in 2012, they beat Atlanta at home, beat Green Bay on the road, beat San Francisco on the road. That was actually a fumble, if I recall, in overtime, right? That set up the game-winning field goal there, and then beat the Patriots. His best playoff games were in the two Super Bowl runs, but keep in mind, during those two Super Bowl runs, they won five times on the road to get to those Super Bowls. 2007, on the road at Tampa, on the road at Dallas, on the road at Lambeau to get to that Super Bowl against New England. 2012, at Green Bay, at San Francisco. In 2011, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick. In 2011, the 2011 playoffs, he was 9 touchdowns, 1 pick in the postseason. He was a really good postseason quarterback in addition to being a guy that won 2 Super Bowls. Because let's face it, that first Super Bowl and even the second one to a certain degree was just as much about the Giant defense, if not more, than Eli Manning. But getting to the playoff, to the Super Bowl was about Eli Manning a lot of the time. Eli's in the Hall of Fame. The only question is whether or not it's first ballot. That's the only question. You know, the debate, and it's going to, you know, Philip Rivers is going to have a similar kind of conversation when he's eligible. When is he eligible, by the way? Is it next year or the year after?
I believe it's next year.
The difference is that Rivers, I think most would say based on watching, was a better quarterback than Eli Manning without the postseason accomplishment. I think they're both in the Hall of Fame. I would bet that Eli's got a slightly better chance of getting in first ballot than Rivers does. But it's close on first ballot for both of them. They're both going to end up. What do you think? I mean, I don't think this is even a question. Eli Manning's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
He'll definitely be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he'll be first ballot, but I do think he gets into the Hall of Fame.
Eli had some good seasons, man. He had some seasons where he was way up there. I mean, he had 7 4,000-yard-plus seasons. In 2011, he had a near 5,000-yard season. And Eli, let me just look at the fourth quarter comeback stuff because I think that's a big part of what he did. I thought many times Eli was a clutch quarterback. I'll find those somewhere. What else?
How about John Gruden, interested in returning to coaching in college?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that he hasn't gone down that path already, but, you know, he's been, you know, kind of fighting the league.
He's fighting a lawsuit. He got some things to handle first.
Yeah. Look, John Gruden can flat out coach, and he can really coach, you know, quarterbacks in offense. So I have no problem if he ends up back in coaching. Do you think it would be controversial for a big-time school to hire John Gruden after the letters and the emails and the whole thing? I don't.
Maybe for like 3 days or something like that. I think if you're throwing enough money around and you're convincing boosters that he can coach, they're not going to care.
Right. By the way, I just wanted to look this up. So Eli's 10th all-time passing yards. Philip Rivers is 6th all-time passing yards. When is Roethlisberger eligible? Is he eligible same year as Rivers?
You know, Ben might be eligible this next year, and Philip might be eligible in 27.
Roethlisberger's a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's easy.
Yeah, multiple Super Bowls. Yeah, big numbers, yeah. Definitely.
You know who's going to be an interesting case when he retires? No, I'm not about to say Kirk Cousins. I'll save that question for Charge next. I think Matt Stafford's going to be an interesting conversation. And I think Matt Ryan is an interesting conversation. I think the two Matts of, you know, the late 2000s and the 2010s, there's definitely a numbers case to be made for both of them.
I think for them, it says, what do you consider more impressive or more worthy of Hall of Fame status, a Super Bowl or an MVP? I would lean for an individual player that an MVP is probably a little bit more important. I think Matt Ryan gets it.
I think I agree with you on that. I mean, I bet a lot of people disagree, but I would agree with you on that because I think it's such a dependent position that things happen when you get to the postseason. And Matt Ryan was a legit MVP. But Matt Stafford, was he ever close in MVP voting at any point? Even, I'm going to assume not in Detroit, although they had a couple of years where they were a playoff team. I bet he was close in MVP voting at some point.
Let me see if I can look this up now. So
I'm looking at his best
first
years in Detroit.
His first year in L.A., he finished eighth. It's the only time he has been top 10 in MVP voting.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
He had a couple 5,000-yard seasons, though, in Detroit.
Oh, I know he did. That's why I was thinking that he perhaps was on the list. He's got a comeback player of the year. That in his third season after he got hurt, remembered, in the second year of his career. Man, that team is really in trouble, the Rams, this year. Sucks for him. But they have been decimated here early in the season with injuries, and they're about to fall to 0-3, more likely than not. All right, let's get to Charge next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.